Your God directs, or your God provides. Once, away back in the dim and distant past, when I worked as a computer technician in a school, I borrowed a teacher's car. She lent me her car to go on an errand for the school, and I was used to driving a little battered Nissan Micra that was like a sardine tin on wheels, and she had a nice Volkswagen Golf. And unfortunately, I turned into a Gateway, thinking I was driving a Nissan Micra, and forgetting I was driving a Golf, and removed some of the paintwork up the side of her car. When I got back to school, I told her about it and said, "Look, I'll be fixing this." The teacher concerned was a Christian, knew that I was going into the ministry, and she said, "You certainly not pay for this. I'll pay for it." And I said, "No, I'll pay for it." And this went on for a while, and then we left it, and she was to get an estimate. I arrived home that evening to find a few envelopes waiting for me from the postman, and as I opened them, there was a cheque in one for a sizable amount of money. Well, it was sizable to me. And so I rang Avril and I said, "Look, I'm paying, for sure. This cheque has just arrived." And that's the long and the short of it. So the next day, Avril phoned the school. She had been down during the lunch break to a local garage. And she said, "Mark, you're not going to believe this. The estimate for fixing the car is exactly the amount in your cheque." That's God's providence. It doesn't always have to be miraculous or spectacular like that. You got up this morning. You had breakfast, I presume. You got up this morning having had a night's rest and sleep. You got up this morning and you were in your own home where you went to sleep. That's God's providence. Any number of things could have happened during the night. But God, in his providence, provided care and safety and protection. He provided you with a home. He provided you with food. He provided you with clothing. He provided you with safety in the way here. He provided. That's God's providence. And over the last number of weeks, we've looked together at God's knowledge, his wisdom, his goodness, his power, and his sovereignty. And as we've considered each of those five different attributes, these are like five great rivers that are running down the sides of a valley. And as they come down to the valley floor, they join together, and these five mighty rivers form one colossal torrent at the bottom of God's providence. Because in God's providence, we see his knowledge at work. He knows what we need. We see his wisdom at work. He knows what is best for us. We see his power at work. He is able to do it. We see his goodness. He wants to do it. And we see his sovereignty in that he commands it. We see all of these attributes in his providence. And that's why today, having looked at those five, we now come to God's providence. And we see it set out for us in our text today, which is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. There's a verse that sums up for us God's providence. I want to look at five different lessons from this today. First of all, there's the context of God's providence. The context of God's providence. Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. He's writing not from Corinth, he's way up further north, and he's writing from there amongst the Macedonian churches, and he's writing to them to encourage the Corinthians to give. The Macedonian churches have given already, and they've been giving to the believers in Jerusalem where there's a famine. And the Macedonian churches have given, and Paul writes to the Corinthian churches, "Now you should give as well. These people are in need." And as he seeks to encourage them to give, he doesn't just point them to the desperate need that there is. He points them to God and encourages them to look to God first of all. The God, as we read, who gave us the Lord Jesus Christ and who has given us salvation and has given us great blessings. The God who rules all things, and as we read in verse 8, is able to give us all that we need. So there's the context of God's providence. It's looking to God, first of all. It's also the context of obedience, or doing what's right. These Macedonian believers were going through difficult times themselves. We read in the opening verse of verse 8, chapter 8, verse 2, out of extreme trial, out of severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Severe trial, extreme poverty. And yet these people knew that they should be supporting the Christians in Macedonia and Jerusalem, who were even worse off than them. And they wanted to give to them. And so they did what was right, even though it was going to cost them, because they looked to God and they knew that God would provide. So this is the context. We look to God and we do what's right, trusting that God will provide. And the context isn't just about money. We're not just thinking about money today. We're thinking about everything in God's provision. And Paul expands it and takes it on me. In verses 10 and 11, he speaks about a harvest of righteousness. He speaks about being made rich in every way. And as we look at life, we shouldn't do what perhaps the people in Corinth were doing. In this second letter, they appear to be looking at their problems instead of looking at God. They appear to be concerned about what will be the outcome of doing what's right rather than just doing what's right. And we can make that problem and that mistake ourselves. We can look to the future and we're anxious about how we'll cope instead of looking to God. We might be prone to panic in certain situations, and then we're discouraged instead of looking to God. We might take the easy way out because we're afraid to do what's right, and we're afraid of the consequences of doing what's right, and so we don't do it. Sometimes we hang on to what we've got because we don't know what the future holds, and instead of giving to those who need it more than us, we hold on to it rather than trusting God. But the context of the promise of verse 8 of this chapter, a wonderful promise, we're going to come to it now, a wonderful promise. The context of that promise is God's people living in obedience, whatever the cost, whatever the circumstances, looking to God rather than looking at themselves. Sometimes we could be like a small child who looks at daddy going off to work, and he sees that daddy earns money to pay the bills and to buy food to put on the table. And the young child starts to panic and worry because he thinks, I can't work, I can't get any money, I can't put food on the table, how am I ever going to cope? And we would say to that child, look, that's not your job to worry about that. That's your father's job. In the context of God's promise, trust and obeying our Father and looking to Him. So that's the context. I want to look now at the breadth of God's providence. The breadth of it. Because there's a rich promise before us here as we look to the future. Look at the words that Paul uses. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. 5 times Paul uses the word all. In the Greek, the word every is the same word. 5 times. All grace, in all things, at all times, all that you need. Able to do all good works. Paul could have said it once, but he really wants us to grasp this. He really wants us to grasp the wonderful breadth of God's provision. In all things, there's no circumstance too hard. At all times, there's no awkward moment when God's up to his ears and he just can't give his attention to you. All that you need, there's no shortage. Here's a 5-fold guarantee. And then he goes a step further. He uses one of his favourite words to describe God's grace or God's goodness. He uses this word, abound. He uses it 26 times in his letters. He just loves it. Sometimes he wants to convey that God doesn't just overflow things, just he super overflows, and he had to invent a word to do that. He super abounds. And here he just uses the word abounds, and he's saying to us that here's God. He's not tight-fisted. You have worries about the future. Why? You have a God who is generous and kind and gracious. It's like a small boy who went into the sweet shop with his mum, and the owner of the sweet shop saw him standing looking at the banks of sweets, and there's the midget gems, and there's the cinnamon lozenges, and there's the clove rock, whoever, and the brandy balls, and there's the strawberry bonbons, and there's the lemon bonbons. There's all of them, dozens of them, different types. And the wee boy's standing with his face against the glass, his wide-eyed. His eyes wide open even, and he's looking at them, and the shopkeeper sees the big wide eyes, and he says to him, take a handful. The wee fella stands with his hands in his pockets, and he says, come on, take a handful. His mother says, take a handful of sweets, you're being asked, it's okay. And he won't take them. Eventually the shopkeeper, he takes one of the paper bags, and he opens it up, and he lifts a handful of the sweets, and he puts them in. He says, there you go, son. And as they go out the door, the mother says to the son, why did you not take a handful of sweets? He said, the shopkeeper had bigger hands, mummy. Our God has big hands. Our God has big hands. That's what Paul's saying. God has big hands. Have we a need? Trust God. He's able to supply our needs. Sometimes we see in the Bible he does it miraculously. There was Elijah at the famine in the land. He's out in a ravine and the ravens bring him food. It's not just in the Bible that we find miraculous provision. There was a time in the Middle Ages where the Christians in France were being persecuted and they were under siege in a town called Rochelle. And this is a coastal town, and they were encircled by the army. Out in the sea, outside the harbour, there were a fleet of ships to stop supplies coming in. And the people were beginning to starve. And there appeared in the harbour, inside the blockade, hundreds upon hundreds of fish. Just appeared. Swam in. They'd never been seen there before. That type of fish had never been seen there at all. And suddenly they were there, providing for his people. Sometimes it's not as miraculous as that. It's sometimes just through the ordering of circumstances that God provides. You know the story of Ruth. Ruth goes and starts to work in a field. And that field belongs to the one person in the whole of Israel who is in a position to help her and who is willing to help. Sometimes God works things that way for us. He provides. Sometimes we find ourselves and we need the ability to do something, and we don't feel we have that ability to speak to someone or to cope with a situation. God provides. Think of Gideon. He was so scared of the Midianite army that he was hiding in behind a wine press, skulking around doing his daily farming work. He didn't want them to see him at all. And yet God gave him courage and strength. Whatever we need, whenever we need, however we need God's grace, he's able to provide and fill all that we need to overflow. There's an awesome breadth to God's provision. You know, whenever you find yourself maybe in a conversation with someone and you're talking about Jesus and you wonder what you'll say next, God will provide. Whenever you face an unknown future and it seems bleak and you're not sure what way things will turn out, God's big hands will provide all that you need. When you knock on a door, if we're out doing evangelistic work with a congregation, which I hope we will be, and you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do, you know what? God's going to provide. You wonder how to cope with sickness. Guess what? God will provide. You wonder how to deal with financial hardship. God will provide. You wonder how on earth this church is going to grow. God is able. You wonder how to face a particular situation. Maybe you're the only Christian in that situation. God will provide. Paul backs this up by a quote testament. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. What he's saying is this: look, God has a track record of providing. At that stage, the psalm had been written 1,000 years. And Paul says, look, he's been doing it for 1,000 years. We can look back and it's 3,000 years and God's been providing day after day after day for his people. And we can look to the cross, which is much richer and greater than looking, in a sense, back to this psalm that Paul quotes. But we can see in a much brighter and clearer way the majesty of God's provision. And if he's provided so richly in the cross, how much more will he provide for all our other needs? Because of Christ. Christ has bought for you, if you're a believer, all that you need at Calvary. Every blessing that you will need has been bought and paid for by Christ Jesus. Not only is there a stunning breadth and a great track record of provision, but there's a specificness to it. There's a particularness to it. Three times in the verse, Paul underlines precisely who it is that can be sure of this abundant provision. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will be able to abound in every good work. To you. He's writing to professing believers. It's a specific and a personal promise. God provides particularly for his people. Are you a Christian here this morning? Isn't that great? God provides particularly for you. We sung from Psalm 34, the lion's young may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing. Here's something new this morning. If you're a Christian, can be sure of this. If you're not a Christian, there's no promise. I'm sorry, this verse just isn't for you. It's not for you. There's no promise of provision. There's no promise of care and protection. It's not there. Back to the illustration of the small boy in the sweetie shop. You're having to reach with your own hands and get what you need. Except it's worse than that. The shop owner hasn't given you permission. All the blessings we have in this life come from God. They're his to give out, and he particularly gives them to his people. So if you're a Christian, you can have great comfort, great encouragement. And if you're not a believer, all the blessings you have had, all the things that you have enjoyed in life, they haven't been paid for. Jesus hasn't paid for them for you, and yet you've taken them. Somebody's going to have to pay. Somebody's going to pay on the day of judgment. Your only hope is to ask Jesus now to pay. To pay for your sins. To pay for all the blessings that you enjoy. To pay and to take the punishment that you deserve. If you're a believer, there's a stunning breadth of God's provision in your life. Stunning bread. There's also a limitation. We've seen the context, we've seen the bread, now we see the limitation on God's providence. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need. All that you need. God doesn't give us all things. Some Christians have made this mistake, and they think that God will provide us with flashy cars, with nice homes, with all of these sorts of things, and full health. That's wrong. The Bible nowhere promises any such thing. We're told time and time again that God provides us with what we need. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you shall lack no good thing. Psalm 34, the lion's young will grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. The thing that they need, they will not lack. That's wonderful, because there are things that we think we really desire that wouldn't be good for us to have. Does God provide them? No. He does what's best and does what's wisest, because he's good and wise. If there's anything that we need, we can be sure that God will provide it. If there's anything that would be bad for us to have that we want, God places a limitation on it. He's not going to give it to us. There's wonderful comfort here. At all times, having all that you need. At all times, you will have all that you need. Perhaps you think to yourself, well, I don't. I don't have all that I need. Why is that? This verse promises it. Well, James perhaps gives us the answer. In his letter, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. Remember the context. The context wasn't just that Paul said, look, Corinthians, give. Put yourself in a position of need. He didn't say that. He said, look to God. And James tells us, look to God. And Paul says to the Corinthians, look to God. And he'll provide. We need to ask. We need to come to God and say, Lord, I'm needy. I need you to provide for me here. My hands are too small to grasp the resources I need. Will you provide for me? The limitation. He gives us what we need, and we should ask him for what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. We were taught to pray. And then there's the purpose. The purpose in God's provision. God's providence isn't simply personal. It's purposeful. God doesn't just save us to get us out of heaven and into hell. He saves us to serve him. That's what he's done. And he provides for us not simply to provide for our needs, but we read here that there's a purpose behind it. And God is able to make all grace abound so that all things at all times, having all that you need, is a comma, not a full stop. You will be able to abound in every good work. God makes all grace abound to you, not so that it stops there, but so that it goes through, and that you can show what kindness and goodness to other people. God's providence has a purpose. He doesn't give it to us so we can sit back and relax, but for us to use it. God gives us gifts, he gives us graces, gives us finance, he gives us a home, so we can use it for him. He brings us through circumstances and teaches us lessons and provides for us in those difficult circumstances. Why? To bring him glory, to help us, yes, to help us grow, yes, but so that when we meet people in difficult circumstances who are going through something that we've come through, that we can share with them what God has done for us. God never blesses us just for ourselves. If we hold the blessing to ourselves, it will decay. God's way to blessing and to enrichment is to keep giving it away. The more we give, the more God gives. And when we do that, God's people display their trust in God's providence. And people around us see that we really trust God. And they see the truth of what we say when we say we've got a Heavenly Father who provides for our needs. And when we live like this, Paul tells us something happens. He tells the Corinthians in verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God. Men will praise God. People will see our lives and think, you know, God's real. This is real. And they will begin to turn to God and to praise him. You know, we can say that we trust God. We can open our heads. And then we can worry just like everyone else. And when we're talking to people, we show that worry and those fears or all of these burdens. And where they see that we don't really trust God. And then why would they ever trust him if they can see that we don't trust him? But whenever we live knowing that God provides with confidence in this vast breadth of his provision, people see that God is real and that he can be trusted with everything. So what sort of people ought we to be? What sort of people ought we to be? We can live confidently in God's provision. We can live confidently in God's provision. Here's the outcome. Sometimes we see Christians looking discouraged and down and worried and anxious. And yet, if we consider God's provision, we have no need to be. Because we have a God who says, bring your worries to me. Bring your burdens to me, and I'll provide. He rules and he directs the affairs of this world for the good of his people, particularly. And we can have confidence in him. And that lifts a great burden off our shoulders. Because as Christians, if you're a believer here today, you have a heavenly Father who will give you all that you need. You don't have to go foraging for resources yourself. You just go to him and ask. But the confidence that we have must be like the Macedonian believers. They persisted in their faith in God's providence, even in the midst of difficulties. Just because life was difficult for them, they didn't give up and they didn't start to doubt. They kept on obeying, they kept on trusting. There will be times whenever you will wonder at God's providence, and you will wonder where it is, and you'll look at this verse and say, Lord, it's not true. And those times you need to keep on trusting, because we can't grasp all of what God is doing. You know, you can imagine a small child looking at a clock, and he sees the hands on the clock going round and round this way, or he knows that they should go round that way, but as he looks inside the clock, he sees a wheel going that way. He sees a wheel going that way. And he sees that the key goes in and you turn it in another way. And the small child wonders, how can something that's going that way make something go that way? And how can something that goes that way make something go that way? And they can't understand how things that go in opposite directions can make one thing go in the right direction. And that's just like us. We look at God's providence and we see things that seem to be going in the opposite direction from the way we think they should be going. We're like a small child who doesn't understand how a clock works. We need to trust the watchmaker, the clockmaker, that he knows exactly how a clock works and what way to put the wheels to get things to work in the right time, at the right direction. And the time will come when we grow up like a small child and we will understand more about how the clock works. And we will see how these things work out. And we will find that we were right to have trusted God. But it may take time. And so, in the meantime, like the Macedonian believers, we look to God and we trust that he will provide at all times and in all ways because he has promised to do so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you provide for all our needs. Thank you for the great provision of salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that you provide for our needs to that, that you provide for all areas of our lives. And Father, we thank you for that. And we pray that you would help us to lift our minds off the worries and to lift our minds to the God who provides. Lift our minds off the things that we lack. And help us to take them to you, the God who provides, when we ask him the things that we need most. Father, help us please. Help us when we doubt. Help us when we're discouraged. Help us to learn to relax in our Father's hands and in his heart, knowing that you love your people and that you are able and willing to provide. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.